family, but we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for the peace and joy and happiness that fills our hearts from you. Thank you for strength you have given to us to overcome weaknesses. Thank you for enforcing your desires, your will, to prevail in our situations. Thank you for how you have been helping us to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you for making all things to work together for our good. Thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit in our hearts, in our souls, and minds. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for things you have helped us to unlearn and things you have helped us to learn. Thank you for the strength you have given to us to deny self and sin and unrighteousness and worldliness. Thank you, Lord. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for how you have been using these teaching classes to edify us, to correct us, to instruct us, and to revive us. Thank you, Lord. We thank you because tonight you will speak to us again. Thank you, Father. I ask, Lord, that every spirit of distraction that has been assigned to weaken the effectiveness of this teaching and Bible study class, let your fire arrest and destroy them in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, help every one of us to be focused on you during this session and open our hearts and minds to understand new things we have not learned before, and even to understand more of the things we have once learned. Thank you, Lord, because we know you shall do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Bible study class. And I believe that you will be edified by the Holy Spirit through these teachings and discussion. Amen. So we're going to continue from where we stopped during the last class. Yeah, during the last class, we have moved to another point, which is point number two, the reasons for fellowship. The reasons for fellowship. And 2A is edification and inspiration. We fellowship for edification and inspiration. And I read from the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 42. So now I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians, chapter 14, verse 3 to 4. We are still on the point that says fellowship brings edification. motivation and inspiration. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 to 4. Open your Bibles with me. It says, but he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that prophesied speaketh unto men for edification and exhortation and comfort. And verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesied edifieth the church. So in the Corinthian church, which is the church Apostle Paul was writing to in this Bible passage, they had the gift of prophecy in that church. The members in that church are able to prophesy. They are able to prophesy. And Apostle Paul encouraged them more to prophesy. In fact, he said everyone can prophesy if there's time for that. He said every one of them can prophesy. Why? Because prophecy or prophesying brings edification. Prophesying brings edification. So what is edification? Edification is growth. Edification means to edify, which is to add more, to something. Just like you add, for instance, if you plant a seed with the aim of having the seed grow to become crops, to become tree, to become plantation. Now, you add fertilizer, you add water, you take away the weeds so that the plant can grow. Coupled with all the nutrients God already put in the ground for the plant to grow. So all those nutrients and the fertilizer and the weeding that you do and the water is edification. Like you are adding things that will lead to growth. So to edify is to add, is to add value, is to add blessings. To edify is to add virtues to something, so that thing can grow, or in this context, to a believer, so that such believer can grow spiritually. So we are talking about spiritual growth in this context. So edification entails or involves every action and teachings and spiritual exercise activities that's gonna lead to the spiritual growth of believers. So that is edification. It can also be, it can be likened to building. Yeah, it, likened to building. So to edify is to build. To build. Yeah, if we look at another, let's look at what a dictionary says. From my dictionary, it says edification is an act of edifying, or the state of being edified, a building up, especially in a moral or spiritual sense. Moral, intellectual or spiritual improvement. Yeah, in building up, especially in the moral or spiritual sense. Yeah. So another meaning in this dictionary says religious nurture, religious strengthening. Yeah, when you are nurturing something, you are giving strength to something. Yeah, so that it can come, you know, that thing or that person. Yeah, which our focus here is a person, a believer. Yeah, so education entails nurturing believer so that they will be built up in the knowledge of God, so that they will be built up to experience the realities of God's kingdom, nurturing believers so that they will know with experience the depths that are in God, the treasures that are in God, the wisdom, the revelations, the understanding that are in God. So education entails all these things. Yeah, it says building up. So that is edification. Now, before I continue with that verse, let's also look at inspiration. You know, I said one of the reasons for fellowship is edification and inspiration. So let's look at what is inspiration. What is inspiration? Now, before I look into the dictionary, what I know about inspiration, or what my own definition of inspiration is an act of pouring something new. Yeah, it's an act of pouring something new into the mind. Or maybe I should say, when something new is being poured into your mind, something you don't know before, something you have not learned before, something you are not aware of before, you are not conscious of it before, and then it is being poured out into your mind, as though your mind is being opened, and they are pouring that thing into your mind, and it is new. It is not what you know before. Yeah, and another way of explaining inspiration is being challenged. Like your mind is being challenged to discover new things. That's another way of defining or explaining inspiration. Meaning that your mind is being challenged to seek for new things, to discover new things. Like you are being told that you can do something you never knew you could do before. And you're being told that you can hear from God audibly. And then you say, if this is true, then I will seek God for this grace. And I will not stop until I have it. So that is inspiration. When you are being challenged to pursue after something new. Yeah, so whatever challenged you is an inspiration. Yeah, is an inspiration. Whatever, you know, challenged you to pursue after something new you have never known before or learned before is also an inspiration. Yeah, so now let's look at what the dictionary says. Yeah, inspiration. Inspiration. Yeah, it says there's quite a lot of meaning I have here. Yeah, let me just pick a lot of meanings. Let me just pick some few. Number one, it says divine guidance. It's a special influence of a divinity on the minds of human beings. A special influence of a divinity on the minds of human beings. Another one is a sudden intuition as part of solving a problem. Yeah, like you just got an intuition. You just suddenly know how to solve a problem. Yeah, and you never knew what you suddenly, you know, what you suddenly know. Okay, let me just stop with those two. Now, don't forget that the focus of the teaching is that believers' fellowship brings about edification and inspiration. Now let us move to that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 3 and 4. I read, "But he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edified himself, but he that prophesied edified the church." Yeah. He that prophesied edified the church. So, the gift of prophecy usually, if not always, okay, let me reframe this statement. The gift of prophecy is for the church. Yeah, the gift of prophecy is for the church, meaning that is for believers. It is for you and I. Yeah. So meaning that no one has the gift of prophecy to use it for himself. The gift of prophecy is given for the church, for the fellowship, for our fellowship. Yeah, that is why God gives that gift. So, and that is why Apostle Paul was emphasizing that that he would want people to prophesy than to be speaking in tongues when they are in meetings. Yeah, that you would want people to focus on edification, which prophecy does that. But when you speak in tongues, especially in prayer, you are only edifying yourself. You're only strengthening yourself as a believer. Yeah, when you pray in tongues, it will only give strength to you who is praying. Yeah, that is what it does. It will only give strength to you who is praying. It will help build up your spirit, your faith. It will help increase your fire, the fire that is in you. Now, that is what speaking in tongues does. But when you prophesy, that is when others will be blessed and edified. Yeah. So Apostle Paul was saying that let us focus on whenever we are together in a meeting, let us focus on what will build us, what will edify us, what will help us to grow in faith, what will help to strengthen and revive us. So let us focus more on that which will edify us, not just speaking in tongues. Now, Apostle Paul didn't say that it is wrong to speak in tongues. In fact, he said he has a supernatural ability to speak so much in tongues. Yeah, so meaning that he could pray in tongues for hours. Yeah, so he was not against praying in tongues, but he wants more attention and focus to be given to prophesying than just speaking loud in tongues. Yeah, in church gathering. Yeah, so I said the gift of prophecy is for the church, especially for church gatherings, church meetings, church fellowship. Yeah. The grace to hear God's voice might first be for you. Yeah, for instance, when I start hearing from God, I started hearing from God for myself. Yeah. So, you know, because it was for me. It was for me to know the Lord more, for me to be guided, for me to be properly led by the Holy Spirit, for me to be corrected whenever I'm wrong. Yeah. So that was the grace to hear God's voice. That was what that grace began to do in me. It was for me to know the Lord more. Yeah. But as time goes on, when I now began to intercede for people, I began to pray for people, then God now added prophecy to that grace of hearing his voice. Yeah, so now God can speak to me about people and tell me, you know, to give them a message from him to them. Yeah, but that was not what the grace to hear God's voice, that was not what it began to do in me. Yeah, so which means that hearing from God can be personal, can just be for you. It is now for others. Once the grace to hear God's voice in your life is now working for others, then it is now prophecy. It is now prophesying. I hope you get the point. I just feel like I should differentiate between that. So when God speaks to you for other people, it is called prophesying. Yeah, but that usually don't come first. The one that comes first when it comes to hearing God's voice is you knowing God through hearing His voice. Meaning that God gives you that grace so that you can, by that grace, know Him closely. Yeah, which is different from the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is never for personal use. And it has never been for personal use. The gift of prophecy is for the church. Yeah, so, and that was why Apostle Paul said everyone should desire to prophesy. Yeah. So that others can be blessed and edified. So if the gift of prophecy is for others, is for the growth, the spiritual growth of believers, then it means that gift is founded upon selflessness, not upon selfishness. Yeah, so meaning that we prophesy because we love each other and we want the best. We want to see the best of ourselves. You know, we want to see the best of one another. Yeah, not that we want to control others, we want to deceive others, want to manipulate others, or want to steal from others. So we prophesy because we want people to grow spiritually. Now, if you look at the trend of prophesying in the present church, you will see that there's a demonic shift that has happened. From when the church began to prophesy, in the days of the apostles, yeah, in those days, prophesying is for edification, yeah, for inspiration. But today, it's something else. Yeah, prophesying now is hardly edifying anybody. You know, sometimes it leads to praises of men. Yeah, the person prophesying, you know, start feeling, you know, I don't know, feeling proud. Yeah, because you could give prophecy and people can confirm it and say, yes, man of God, you're right. Yeah. And they start, you know, they start making noise about themselves. Whereas the gift is not for them. It's not even about them. The gift is about others. The gift of prophecy is for others. I mean, it is for the benefit and growth of others, not the person that is prophesying, but those that are to receive the prophecy. Yeah, so it is for edification. And some years back, when the church was still, you know, was still enlightened and pure, God had used the gift of prophecy to solve a lot of problems in the church. A lot of problems. God had used this gift of prophecy to expose secrets of darkness and to also expose or to reveal the weapons and the dimension of victories, the weapons and the dimension by which we will be victorious over battles of darkness. God has used the gift of prophecy to give solutions to all manner of problems. In those days when believers come together and begin to praise God and begin to worship God and begin to pray, the Holy Ghost will come down and brethren will start prophesying. And through those prophecies, God has given directions to the church. God has given revelations, as in deep revelations. Revelations about certain mysteries that have been sealed or covered for centuries. Prophecies, the gift of prophecy as a way of unveiling mysteries. Yeah, it has a way of causing great revival. In fact, there cannot be a successful and prevailing revival without the gift of prophecy. Apart from teachings, the next thing that will cause great revival is the gift of prophecy. Yeah, but people have so much polluted that gift, and devil also have so much polluted it, and it has now become useless to the kingdom. I mean, it has become useless to doing what the kingdom of God wants it to do. Yeah, it has become ineffective. Yeah, because the gift is now working for the devil. Most times, believers use the gifts for the devil, for darkness, and not for God. Yeah, so, but the fact that this gift has been so polluted and corrupted doesn't mean we should not seek for it. And it doesn't mean we should not prophesy. Yeah, so we have to prophesy. In fact, is the only hope we have. Yeah. In this wicked world, this gift of prophecy is the only hope we have in this wicked, perverted, demonic, satanic world and evil world. Yeah, because it's by this, I'm not talking about God leading you personally. I'm talking about God leading us. Yeah, when it comes to your personal walk with God, all you need is to hear from God by yourself. But sometimes God might use this gift to speak to you. He can reveal something to somebody, or he can reveal something in the church while you are in the meeting, something that talks about you. Yeah, but mostly, God wants you to develop a personal way of hearing from Him, you as a person. God wants you to develop a personal way of hearing from Him, which the best of those ways is to hear His voice. Yeah, to hear His voice. Or to receive revelations from Him. Yeah, which can come through, those revelations can come through visions, and they can come through dreams sometimes, and most times they come through if they don't come by His voice, they come through inward witness and inward impressions, like something being impressed on your mind. Yeah, something being impressed on your mind, like burdens. Yeah, like a knowledge being impressed on your mind, and you can't explain how you know that thing. Yeah, so you just need to develop a way God speaks to you personally. But when it comes to God speaking to us publicly, we need the gift of prophecy. Yeah, when it comes to God leading us, guiding us. Yeah, so which is not everything God's going to tell you personally. So then there are some of the, there's some direction God has reserved in the gift of prophecy for you. So you would not tell you personally until you meet with other believers and then the Spirit of God comes down and then we, and then some of us or some people in that meeting begin to prophesy. Yeah, they began to speak what God is showing them. Or the Spirit of God possessed them and they began to speak forth the word of God. Yeah, so we need this gift. And like I said, this gift is the only hope we have. Yeah, at such a time like this. If we are going to succeed in our careers, if we are going to succeed in ministry, yeah, if you are going to if we are going to witness a revival, a great revival, we need the gift of prophecy. Yeah, if we are going to see solutions to problems, if we are going to see problems get solved, we need the gift of prophecy. Yeah. So let us begin to desire this gift. Yeah, maybe you feel like the church is polluted. We have a lot of false prophets. We now have a lot of false prophets. Yeah, so you feel like I don't want this gift. You need to desire it because the church need it. It's not about you now. It's about others. It's about the church. It's about people out there who need certain messages from God, which God cannot give them personally. Yeah. Yeah. As spiritual as I am right now, you know, I'm very spiritual. At least to the extent that I know I can hear from God. But as much as I can hear from God, there are certain things God will not tell me. Yeah. Yeah. Even though I can hear Him almost all the time, but there are things He will not tell me. We have to put it in the realm of prophecy for somebody to receive the message and come and tell me, or for somebody to prophesy. Maybe we're having a meeting or something, and then as we're having the meeting, and then somebody starts seeing a vision or revelation, or somebody starts receiving messages from the Holy Spirit for me or for some other people. So, God will not tell me certain things, except from the realm of prophecy. Yeah, no matter how spiritual I am, He will not tell me certain things except by using others to give those messages. Yeah, so the same way He will not tell you certain things, and those things are very crucial to your destiny, to your future, to your life, to your calling, to your ministry. He will not tell you directly. He will tell you many other things personally, but He will not tell you those things except by the gift of prophecy. So that is why we have to desire this gift. And I, as a person, I love this gift. And I want everyone to have this gift. I want every believer to have that ability to prophesy. Yeah, and to prophesy is to speak forth messages from God. Yeah, it's not divination. A prophecy is not divination. Divination is when you can see certain details about people. Yeah, you know certain details about people, or you know certain details about certain things. Yeah, that's divination. Divination is when you can tell someone that you have how will I put it? I'm not used to that. Yeah, but divination is when you look at someone and then you say your grandmother is 60 years of age, am I right? And the person says, yes, you're right. You're from town. You're from this village in this country, am I right? And the person says, yes, you're right. So that is divination. Yeah, it's called divination because we have not heard from God. Yeah. That is why I call it divination. It's the ability to speak details of things, both physical or spiritual, details that are not available to the diviner. Details that you did not make available to the diviner, and then he was able to tell you those details, like mention your phone numbers to you, like the diviner is able to tell you the name of your street, the address of your street. The diviner is able to tell you the names of your children. Yeah, so that is divination. Now, I call it divination because it doesn't contain the voice of God. So when a prophecy in quotes does not contain the voice of God, it is divination. Yeah. So because a prophecy does not have to contain divination. Yeah. But if at all there is a divination, if it has not yet involved the voice of God, then it is not a prophecy. I don't know, I'm not trying to confuse you. I believe you're getting my point. So what I'm saying is that if someone is only telling you details about your life, details you did not make available to the person, and the person have not yet told you what is God saying, then it is not prophecy. Yeah, it is divination. And divination is something that many demons can do. Many witch doctors can do it perfectly. Many spiritualists, many agents of Satan, they can do divination very perfectly. They can look at you and tell you details you did not provide for them. Yeah. So, but the difference between divination and prophecy is that prophecy is about what is God saying. So, and when prophecy is coming forth, sometimes it doesn't come in a form of divination, and sometimes it might come in a form of divination, like, but we don't call it divination in the Bible. All we call it is we call it word of knowledge. Yeah, we call it word of knowledge, meaning that you just happen to know something supernaturally that you don't initially have knowledge of. Yeah, so now you can see the difference. So if you have seen prophets that all they could do is just divination, and then they could not tell us what is God saying, and even when they gave the prophecy of what God has said, it is not something that glorifies God, and it is not something that leads to edification, because some people will tell you God said this, but if you look at what they said God said, you will see that it doesn't have anything to do with edification. Yeah, sometimes it has to do with destruction than edification. Yeah, so I don't know why I'm taking time to talk about this issue of prophecy. I believe maybe some of you are having issues with some churches, ministries, or prophets, and you are confused. Now, one of the ways to judge if a prophecy in quotes is of God or not is, number one, does it contain what God is saying? The person said God said, because when the person tell you that God said it, that is when it is prophecy. So if the person did not mention about God said, he's just telling you that I saw that in your family, people used to die at certain age. I saw that in your family, three people have run mad. Yeah, that is just divination. Now ask the person, okay, you saw this and it is true. Now what is God saying? So if the person cannot tell you what is God saying, then that is not from God. So that's number one. And then number two is, now if the person tells you, now God said this, now look at what that person says, said God said, and compare it with what we have read in this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 3. It says, but he that prophesied speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation and comfort. So now look at that thing that the person said God said, and look at it and measure it with this scripture. Now does it edify? Does it build the soul? Yeah. You know, does it lead to comfort? Does it bring comfort? Does it bring exhortation? Exhortation is like a short teaching or exposition of God's word. Like exhortation is when you try to explain a truth, a kingdom truth. That is exhortation, like a brief explanation of a truth in the kingdom of God. Yeah, now that is exhortation. So does those prophecies, does it edify? Because if somebody tell you that God said he's gonna do this for you, and then but you have to do certain rituals. Yeah, so you should not believe that. Yeah, because there is no other ritual that has been given to us, you know, apart from what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Yeah, if they are telling you God said we have to do this sacrifice, do that. Yeah, and that is contrary to the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. So you don't believe all that. So you compare what the person has said to the scripture. Yeah. That prophecy, does it stir up your faith? Does it add more to your faith, or it promotes fear? Like some people will say, God told me that you're going to die in 3 days. Yeah, and for you not to die in 3 days, you have to give certain amount of money so you won't die in 3 days. So all those things does not edify. Yeah, they don't edify. So that is how to really know the difference between the right kind of prophecy and the wrong one. So my admonition to you is that seek for this gift. Yeah, because is going to help save lives. Just as somebody is in need of money, and you package some money and give to that person, the same thing is, if the person does not have that amount of money at that time, could probably cause some damages, and then you package the money and give that person. Yeah, the same thing with spiritual gifts. Yeah, which is priceless. Yeah, they are too expensive that no amount of money can buy it. Yeah. So if you're passionate about seeing people's lives delivered, seeing people's lives transformed, then you need to operate in the gifts of prophecy. Yeah. That is how God uses us to help others fulfill their callings and destinies. Yeah, that is why I ask God for the gift of prophecy. Because I so much love to see people become who God wants them to be. That is my passion. I just like to see people fulfill their destinies. I like to see people become what God wants them to be. What, the purpose that God sent them into the world to fulfill. I want to see people fulfill that purpose. So that is why I ask God for the gift of prophecy. So this gift is going to help all of us. So that is why we should desire it. Now, let me talk about this other thing, this other issue. I know some of you might have that question. In that First Corinthians chapter 14, Paul was talking about focusing on prophesying in church meetings than speaking in unknown tongues. Yeah. So the question some people have asked me is that, what about churches where they speak a lot in tongues, like during prayers? What about churches where they speak so much in tongues during prayers? Like, the people don't pray with their native tongues or with normal English. Yeah, the people only pray in tongues and they start shouting in tongues. Yeah, so people have asked me that, what about that? According to the teaching of Apostle Paul, is that right to be done during fellowship, during church service, church meetings? Yeah, now I have said it before that speaking in tongues also does the work of edification. Only that the edification that comes through speaking in tongues or praying in tongues is personal. Yeah, it's personal to the person that is praying in tongues. But the one that is general, the one that is going to edify everybody in that gathering is the gift of prophecy. So now, knowing fully well that speaking in tongues is personal, then there should be a limit to the volume we give it in church meetings. Now, I'm not saying there shouldn't be speaking in tongues at all in church meetings, but it should be limited. Now, the reason why it is necessary sometimes during prayer session is to edify the person that is praying, to kind of charge the spirit of the person that is praying. Yeah, so which, after this gift have charged your spirit, you are not supposed to continue. Yeah. Especially to the point whereby you speak in tongues so loud that everybody hearing, they can't hear any other thing but just your tongues. That is not right. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Let's say, for instance, I I'm leading a prayer session, I can speak in tongue along the line because my spirit needs fuel to do well in that prayer. I must not turn the entire prayer session into tongue speaking party. Yeah, it is wrong to do that. Like, you just turn the entire prayers to tongues. It doesn't make sense in the public. You can do that in the private. You can just continue to pray in tongues, but in the public, especially when you are the one handling the microphone, especially when you are the one that, you know, your voice is going to be very loud. You must speak some words that people can understand along the line. You don't just turn the whole prayer into tongues. It is wrong. Why? Because it makes you selfish. Yeah, it makes you selfish when you are with the microphone in a church meeting, and you know your voice is going to be very loud. It makes you selfish to pray all the prayers in tongues. Yeah, you could pray some few words and then start praying in a language other people understand. And that is why when I'm leading prayers, there's no how I will not pray, I will not speak or pray in language that many understand. And in fact, some of you, you follow my words. When I pray, you follow the way I'm praying, and then you get edified. So that is what Apostle Paul is saying. So if I just undo if I'm just handling the prayer session, and then all I did is, let's pray for, I'm citing an example, let us pray for deliverance from fear. And then that is all you had. The next thing is I'm just speaking in tongues. It doesn't make sense. Yeah, along the line I have to pray in words. Defined. I don't know if you are getting the point. So that is where the correction needs to come in. So people that are hearing, they don't know the tongue you are saying. Yeah, so but when they hear you speak in words, that are, you know, words that are powerful, it will trigger their faith in God, and it will connect them more to miracles. I'm going to stop at that point. Now let us look at another scripture in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. It says, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you had a psalm, had a doctrine, had a tongue, had a revelation, at an interpretation, let all things be done unto a divine. So now, Apostle Paul went further to tell us how to maintain order in the church. So he said, even when it comes to prophesying, there still must be order. So the fact that every one of us should desire to prophesy doesn't mean that sign. Yeah, so they have to be an order to him, because God doesn't dwell in the midst of confusion. Yeah, he doesn't dwell in the midst of confusion. So, even when you have a revelation and some other person have a revelation, some other person have an interpretation, a vision, a tongue, Apostle Paul said everyone should not do it at once. Yeah, so let it be done in order. Yeah, so then that is why there's always a pastor in a church. So the leader will guide the people on the demonstration of this gift. Yeah, I remember there was some time ago. There was a conference I attended some time ago, and in the midst of the program, a brother started speaking loud in tongues, uncontrollably. Yeah, and since there was nobody to interpret the tongue or the tongues the person was speaking, they had to take him outside of the meeting, of the church meeting, to maintain order, to maintain peace in the meeting. And also, there was another program also I attended that praise the Lord. Yeah, I said there was another program that I was in, and the Spirit of God came heavily upon everyone, and about 3 or 4 people began to prophesy. So because, you know, to avoid confusion, none of them were allowed to profess, to take charge of the atmosphere, meaning that none of them were given the microphone to have the prophecy come loud enough for everyone to listen. So what was done is all of them were taken outside of the meeting, and certain people stayed with them and took books and penned down all the prophecies they were saying. Yeah, and they penned those words down, everything they were saying by the Holy Spirit. They wrote everything down. Yeah. So, and while they were doing that, the meeting continued. So then later or maybe towards the end of that conference, after careful assessment of those prophecies that were recorded from those believers who were hit by the Holy Ghost and began to prophesy. So after careful assessment and after discerning the details of those prophecies, if they line up with the Word of God, if they line up with the Scriptures, then they now brought it out to read to us in the conference that during the course of the meeting, the Holy Spirit came down, and these are the messages the Holy Spirit gave us. Yeah, so that was perfect. Yeah, that was very perfect. So this is how we should handle the gift of prophecy in fellowship meetings, in church gatherings. Yeah, so in this way, there would not be confusion. Yeah, not that this one is prophesying, this one is interpreting, another somewhere is prophesying, another is interpreting, and everything is not conflicting each other. God does not operate that way. The kingdom of God does not operate that way. So those are just few examples. There are other things involved. Yeah, I just feel to share these two. Yeah. I know we have spent more than an hour. Yeah, but I'm gonna mention the next point, and then we're going to round up the session. Now, point B, under reasons for fellowship. Point B is reading the word together. Reading the word together. Yeah, one of the reasons why we fellowship with one another is for us to read the word of God together. And not just read, discuss the word of God together. Yeah. In the midst of such discussions, the eyes of many people will be opened. Yeah, because the way how we understand a certain portion of the Bible might not be the same way another brethren will understand it. Yeah, so if we read the scriptures together, discuss it together, ask questions, answer, and then get answers, it will help boost our understanding of the word of God. And not only that, it will help us to know God more. Yeah, because the knowledge of God is inside of his word. So if we read the word of God together, it will draw us closer to God. And in the course of the discussions, a lot of revelations will come forth. Yeah. Because there are some people in the church who have gotten some deep revelations about the word of God. And if they share with you what they know, it can take you to a higher level in your relationship with God. And also, if you share the one you know, it can take them also higher in their relationship with God. So, we have to read the word of God together and discuss it together. Apostle Paul did a lot of that in his missionary journey. He would enter into synagogues and begin to reason with people concerning the scriptures. Sometimes, he would spend hours reasoning with people concerning the scriptures. And at the end, God is always glorified. The Bible will say at the end, some people will end up believing the gospel. Yeah. So there's a need for us to read and study the word of God together. It's one of the reasons why we fellowship. In those days, believers will knock the doors of other believers and say, "Brethren, I just come so that we can have Bible study together." And they could sit down and discuss the Bible for 4 or 5 hours. And both parties will be edified. Yeah. They will be edified. Yeah. And if we do this consistently, it will unlock some certain graces that will change our lives if we do this reading and discussing the word of God together. Yeah, there are still some scriptures under this point. We'll look at it next week. Yeah, so, but if you have questions based on what I have said so far, based on all I have said during the course of this teaching, you can put your question on the group platform. So we'll continue from this point B next week. There are some scriptures there we'll read together. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for the opportunity to discuss spiritual things together. Thank you for the opportunities, the opportunity you have given to us to explain in details things that are very crucial to our spiritual growth and even to the fulfillment of our callings and destinies. Thank you, Father. We thank you for showing us how we need to prophesy and how we can do it correctly without becoming dark in the process, without embracing darkness in the process. Thank you, Father. Lord, I ask that for as many who will begin to desire the gift of prophecy, not to profit themselves, but for the good of others, for the edification of others. I ask, O God, that you answer their prayers. I ask that you put upon them unusual anointing and grace for prophecy that will cause great revival in these last days in Jesus' name. I ask, O God, for as many that have deep hunger to walk in the realms and dimension of prophecy. I pray, O Lord, that you satisfy their hunger with strong unction and mantle and anointing of prophecy in Jesus' name. I pray for you that the solutions to the problems in your family, the hand of God shall give it to you by prophecy in Jesus' name. The solution to the problems in your career, calling, marriage, and destiny, the hand of God shall release them to you by prophecy in Jesus' name. And every time you come together with other believers, I pray that the Holy Ghost will use you to prophesy in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Goodbye.